ready to enlarge.
Yeah, yeah.
Get ready to enlarge.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, we say yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, here we go. Give God glory in this place. The souls are coming home. Come on. I said the souls are coming home. Everything the devil thought he took, it's coming back to you. You might as well get ready to celebrate. I don't hear nobody in here. Come on. God, and his mercy endures forever. And that devil is a bold-faced liar. Somebody scream in this place.
And you are good and your mercy forever. Hallelujah.
You, God. We celebrate you, God. We celebrate you, God. Do me a favor while we're worshiping. Could you shake three hands and tell the person you're shaking the hand with, say, there's nobody greater than our God. Remind them, say. Tell them, there's nobody greater than our God. Nobody, nobody. There's nobody greater. Since we know there's nobody greater than our God, there may be somebody here today that saw you go through a very trying time this week. A time where you felt like, God, I know that you're real. I know that you're able. But at this moment, I really do need you. And this is not to say that your salvation is in question. There are just times where you really feel like you really do want, I just want to feel you, God. Are you hearing me out there? Men, there are times where you are leading your family as the prophet and priest of your home. And you're saying, God, I don't want to miss this next step, this next season. And you want God to give you some clear direction. And the devil will try to tell you, you might as well walk away from everything. But right there, that's when God touches you and gives you some sense of direction. Do me a favor. Can we do this? God, I want to just feel you today. Can you lift your two most important weapons that you got with you? I want you to be someone today, if it's not for yourself, be a worshiper, a surrogate worshiper for someone else, a surrogate worshiper for someone else who may be going through something. I want you to worship where they may be, and lift up a hallelujah and a thank you, Jesus, and let him know, God, you won the victory for me, and you're going to win the victory for my comrade, my compadre, my friend, my family member. He, you're going to win the victory for them. We'll sing it together. It simply says, hallelujah. Lift up your voice. You have won the victory. Hallelujah. All over the house. Come on. You have
won it all for me.
Death could not hold. Come on, worship for your friend and your neighbor. Come on, do it today. You are
the risen King.
Not only that, God, but you're seated in a special place.
You're seated in majesty.
You are the risen King. Let's sing it all over this building.
Hallelujah.
We're victorious.
You have won the victory.
Yeah, that I'm up, oh shit. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You won it all for me.
You have won it all for me.
Death could not hold. death could not hold you down. You are the risen King, seated in majesty. Lord, give us you. Lord, give us you. More of you, Jesus. More of you, Jesus. Ore damando ko shibi. Give me you. Everything else can wait. Give me you. I hope I'm not too late. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Give me you. Everything else can wait. God, give me you. I hope I'm not too late. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. About 2008, I heard Dr. Hall say this. When we begin our trek with God, we're so excited. We're excited to tell people about how much we love him and how much we appreciate what he's done for us. But sometime along the way, we forget to keep him included in our plans. And we wait till the last second to add him back to our recipe of life. And sometimes it looks like it's too late for us to include him, but I'm here to let you know it's never too late.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I said it's never too late. Father, we don't want to be too late. So, Lord, give us more of you. God, we need more of you. Not just lip service, but we want more of you.
Yes.
Make an altar right where you are and worship him. Give me you. Give me you. Everything else can wait. I'm pulling other things back, God. Give me you. I hope I'm not too late.
I hope I'm not too late.
Lord, give me you.
Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you.
Lord, give me you.
Lord, give me you.
Give me you. Everything else can wait. I'm putting you first, Jesus.
Give me you.
Hope I'm not too late.
I hope I'm not too late.
Lord, give me you.
Lord, give me you.
Lord, give me you.
Lord, give me you.
Gotta have you, Jesus.
Lord, give me you.
Lord, give me you. Give me you. Everything else will wait.
Everything else will wait.
God, I need you right now.
Give me you.
Hope I'm not too late, Jesus.
I hope I'm not too late.
Lord, give me you.
Lord, give me you.
Lord, give me you.
Thank you.
Oh, it's one of my favorite songs. See, when you come to that place, woo, come on now. When you recognize how much you need Jesus, you abandon yourself and you just let God be God in your life. It changes everything. I want to sing that one more time. I want you to sing it right out of your belly. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Come on, sing it with everything you got.
I need thee. Oh, I need thee.
Every hour.
Every hour.
Oh, oh, oh.
Oh, bless me now, my Savior.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, the anointing is starting to stir right now. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. We need you. We declare our need for you. We declare that we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and we know that you will lift us up. God, we declare that there is no one like you in Jesus. No one, nobody can move in our lives like you can. Lord, we humble ourselves and we say, we need you, Jesus. We recognize, God, the frailty of life. And Lord, but we know the eternity of our King. Lord, today we just say we love you so much. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for hearing our cry. You know, if you walk by my prayer room, you'll hear that song sung often. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. I sing it all the time. Because for me, this is the answer. It's not anything I can figure out. How many of you know you messed up your life at least twice? All right, who wants to really be honest? Have you messed it up more than twice? How many of you know that with Jesus on your side, man, God can do anything? You don't have trouble. Hope thou in God. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Amen. Turn to someone and say, whew, what a relief. I need God. Why don't you go find five people you do not know? Don't go sit down. Don't sit down. Go find five people you don't know and say, good morning. You look just marvelous today. I need God.
Bless me now. What happened if the people of God started handling money God's ways? You work too hard to get to the end of your life and have nothing to show for it.
This is my family's legacy that I'm talking about here. I've got to have a plan and be focused.
That knowledge that you pass down to your kids, that is how you change a family tree.
You change your life when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you have that moment where you say, I've had it. I am not going to live like this anymore.
Hey, HD family, we have our annual church picnic coming up. It's going to be June 5th. We're going to be meeting again at Harris Hill Youth Camp. We want to make sure that you bring a large dish to pass, as well as bring some drinks and bring games as well. We want to make sure that we are coming together as a family. Make sure that you're there to enjoy the family and fellowship and fun. See you there.
It's me again, family. I'm excited to tell you about Uproar Conference this year. We've already had hundreds of people register online and had amazing opportunities to show and share what Jesus is going to do this summer. We're seeing if you'd be willing to partner with Conference this year. We found it costs about $50 per student, and we are so excited. Imagine if you just one day, what you spend on Duncan, you go ahead and invest into a student so their life can be changed forever. So we're excited to partner with you. We can see you out in the foyer, or you can place something right in the offering today. We are so pumped that you can make an impact in this generation.
First off, I want to invite you to HT Softball. We're doing all right this year. But second, we're excited about Father's Day, June 19th. We have an amazing Sunday planned. First off, we have church, bring your jersey, bring your dad. And then after, bring your kids, bring your family to the Pioneers. You can get a free ticket for the game at 6 p.m. right at the Hub. Come as a family, we're excited about this time to celebrate Father's.
All right, now, come on, don't forget to grab your free tickets. They're out at the Hub already. I believe they have he's given us as many as we want. So free tickets for you and your family. It's a great time to bring folks that don't go to church. You can bring them to the Father's Day celebration. We're actually able to preach the gospel there. It's going to be just a great time. We do it every year. We thank God we're with the Pioneers. How many of you recognize that to make impact, you've got to be able to be involved in the community? And we're blessed. We're involved with not only the Pioneers, but we're also involved with the Jackals and with the Arena. And with many other organizations across our county, and God is using us to make a difference. And today we want to just honor all of those who have served. And we have one young man. He's in the house right now. He's on vacation with his bride. Why don't you stand up, young man, and wave at everybody. There you go. He's a Marine. Hallelujah. If I could have all of those who have served or all of those who are serving, if you'll stand, we want to honor you this morning. Look at all of the folks. We had one young man leave this week. He headed off to the Air Force. Yeah. We have a lot of folks that have served in this church. We honor you. We respect you and thank you for fighting for our freedom. A lot of people don't recognize we are able to stand here today because we're in America. Many countries don't allow this any longer. We're allowed to stand. In fact, in Mexico, where we do ministry, they no longer give registrations for churches any longer. No more registrations. You either have one or you don't. You're either legal or you're illegal. So we forget. That's just over the borders. You know, we're blessed to live in America, and we want to say thank you so much. We honor all of you who have served. We appreciate your service for not only this country, but for the King. I have 10 His Tabernacle Family Church stickers. I was riding my bicycle to church this morning, and I saw a lot of cars go by that pulled down our driveway without HT stickers. So I'd like to bless with 10 of them. Who needs one? We only got 10 here. You got a car? Your uncle should not be allowing you to drive his car, I'm telling you. Very good. Two more. Who needs one? Oh, very good. Very good. Why we do that is I want to make sure you put it on the outside of your car, not the inside of your car. I did see somebody who has one on the outside of their car. And has anybody ever ridden, seen the front end of a front end of an ambulance? The word ambulance is backwards. That's what it looks like. So get another one. We're excited today. We want to welcome all of our guests. If you're a first-time guest at His Tabernacle Family Church, you'll raise your hand. We're not going to embarrass you. We just want to honor you. We have gifts for you. Very good. Right over on this side. Right over here, Alberta, I'm sorry, right here. Oh, here we go. We got folks coming. There they go. We want to honor you. Thank you so much for being. We have a guest reception right after service. We'd love to meet you personally. The pastor, my wife and I, and some of the other pastors. If you'll go down this hallway on this side right after service, bring the person who brought you. And we have a little food in there. And we just want to be able to shake your hand and tell you we love you. And thank you for being present with us. If you are online and you're a first-time guest, wave at me. Yesterday we did the motorcycle blessing. We had 132 bike registrations. Very good. That's usually doubled, so we're probably right over 200 folks that were riding in the bike blessing yesterday. You know what was amazing is how many of them came up to me and said, Pastor, we watch the program every week. I said to them, you need to be in the service now. They figure we have between 3,000 and 5,000 people watching the telecast every single week. They're part of His Tabernacle Family Church. We want to welcome all of our live stream family as well. Can you give them a clap? Hallelujah. God has blessed us. The congregation is growing literally all over the world. And you are part of something much larger than just you. God wants to use your life to transform so many. So today we are just blessed. Today I was I'm up early every morning, but I went up and prayed, took my time to speak to Jesus. And then I went down and my wife reminded me that I needed to take the garbage out. And so took the garbage out. And I remembered we had these old plastic pools. How many of you have seen those little kiddie pools? And I looked at that and I said, you know what? After church, my family always comes over our house. I know that my grandbaby is going to want to play in that pool. So I took the pool and I set it up and I stood there with a hose. Do you ever know that when you use a hose like that, it just makes you feel like you got to go potty yourself? So I'm using the hose and I'm using the hose, filling the thing, and I'm thinking, you know, this is really cool. I'm thinking ahead to make sure my grandbaby is taken care of. And this is what Father said. Father said, that's what I do to my kids too. They don't even realize it, but I'm setting them already up for the blessing before they ever reach the afternoon. Before the service is ever done, before the baby ever gets into the pool, the blessing had already been planned. And Daddy's got your blessing planned for you before you ever hit the pool. Amen? You need to know He loves you so very much. Turn to someone and say, God loves you. And you know, in your giving and in your honoring of the Lord, He loves you. And you know, He wants to bless you so desperately. He wants to have it so it's not hand to fist. There's nothing more stressful than hand to fist. Can I hear an amen or am I? And you know, a lot of people say, well, if I make more money, then I'll have more money. And the truth is that's not true. Statistically, the people that make more money end up spending more money, so they go back to hand and fist. The principles that we want to get back to are God's kingdom. Can I hear an amen? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In that is the principles of giving. And I want to remind you to be a tither. You know, the world looks at the church and said, what are you, crazy? You're giving all that money to the church? Listen, you're not giving a dime to the church. You're giving it all to Jesus. If you're giving it to the church, you're really messing up. You're giving it to Christ. You're declaring, the Bible says, you cannot serve both God and mammon. You're declaring when you give in the offering today, when you give your tithe today, you're saying, God is my source. My job's not my source. My boss is not my source. The economy is not my source. God is my source. And when you place Jesus first, He says, I promise, I'll give you everything else. That's what He says, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these shall be added unto you. So some of you are seeking after the things, and the Lord says, put me first, and I'll give you the things. That means tithes and offerings. Amen? Turn to someone and say, I'm a tither and I'm a giver. Can we say this out loud? We are a generous church. Come on, say it again. We are a generous church. And that is so very true. Let's stand to our feet. Let's get ready to give to the Lord. If you're a guest in the house, we actually bring our offerings to the Lord. And we just ask, I think we have connection cards still. Do we still do connection cards? If you haven't filled out a connection card, fill it out, bring it up, put it in the offering plate. And I'm just believing God that he's going to bless you abundantly. The pool is waiting for you after service. Amen. Can you shout the blessing of the Lord? Shout, if I obey, I'm blessed going in. And I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. I said, I'm a child of God. Then shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering.
Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of the King rise among us. Let it rise.
Let the glory of
the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise
the
among
praises.
Us. Let the praises of the King.
Rise
among us, let it rise.
And we say, oh,
oh, let it rise.
And we say, oh,
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 let it rise.
Let it rise.
Oh, we say,
praise the Lord. Don't you love our worship team? Pastor Johnson, we just honor you. We thank you for the gifts that God has given you, because you truly are very prophetic in your gifting.
Thank you, sir.
And we honor that gift. Amen. Well, I just wanted you to know, just out of a very spiritual moment, that we won our second softball game last night. This is the most winning team we've ever had. Hallelujah. We were having a very strong winning season a few years back, and then we had staff members who had very bad attitudes, who were mean. And so I canceled the entire season. So I'm believing God that we can finish this one and actually possibly win. Glory to God. If you'd like to join the softball league, Chris Wadley, if you'd like to get a hold of him, just pay attention. I believe there's a Facebook for it, and you'll be blessed. And it is competitive. It is competitive, but no swearing, no fighting, none of that stuff allowed. Well, we're blessed this morning. my wife has a tremendous word from the Lord for you. One thing that I've found is that as a team, one of the things that we do is there are certain messages that are receptive more through the wife than through the husband. You remember when you were a parent and you looked at your child, or when you were the child, you knew who to go to. Amen? We want you to recognize there are certain spiritual things that happen in the kingdom. We fight not against flesh and blood. I'm not settling in. She was getting nervous. I could tell. I won't. There are certain spiritual principles, and we need to make sure that we pay attention. A lot of times we just look at faces and hair and clothes and stuff like that. But we need to pay attention to the spiritual principles because we fight not against flesh and blood. And so you got to recognize the enemy of your soul is not happy that God is growing this house, and he's not happy that you're here growing the house. So there's always ways that he works to disband and destroy. So we want to pay attention. We're going to throw that out to you this morning. Can you please welcome Pastor Rhonda Spencer?
This morning, I'm excited to share a word that God has worked in me. I love sharing when it's something that he's done in me. It's more challenging when it's something you're not familiar with. But unfortunately, I was all too familiar with this, and God had to work it out in me. And actually, Pastor Andrea communicated with us last week as the lead intercessor and the head of the prayer team, not only in this church, but internationally, and has sounded the alarm. As one of the watchmen on the wall, she spoke up about spirit of offense. And this morning, we're going to talk about the seeds of offense. And I just pray right now that the word of God today will work like a scalpel in our lives, removing anything that is not of God. And we already entered in worship and asked for God to come and fill us. So through the word today, that's exactly what's going to happen. So how does it happen that one gets planted, like Pastor has been speaking, but then 5-10 years down the road, we're feeling empty, dry, dissatisfied, disconnected, and then we stumble and fall away? You know, you may be in this congregation and you've said that yourself. How does somebody actually walk away from God? I could never imagine that. We determine our harvest. As Pastor's been teaching on the ground that we're planting in, we are the ones that determine it. We determine whether it's going to come back to us 30, 60, or 100-fold, or never even get planted. But you say, but I am planted. Look, I'm here. I've been coming to this church for 18 years. I'm here. I'm planted. But I want to call your attention to a crafty ploy of the enemy. You see, many mature Christians can't be tripped up by the obvious things. You know, you're not going to get tripped up for the big old sins that are in neon lights because you're mature and that can't happen to you. But the enemy of our soul has used a masterful technique on the planted. And it's called the seed of offense. You see, we come to church in our mind to worship God, right? We're here today to worship God, to learn and to be equipped and to grow because we're planting ourselves. But something very different ends up actually happening. We come into church so busy being offended that we don't actually worship God or learn or grow. We can't even hear from God because we're too busy being offended. We think we do. We think we're coming in week after week because we're here and we're worshiping God. We think we do because we're present at church each week. But therein is the ploy. The enemy of your soul doesn't even care if you go to church because he knows he can stop you from worshiping God or he can stop your 100% harvest. You will not take root as long as offense is allowed in. So pastor's been talking about this tree. And this poor tree, if you can see it up here, its leaves are barely green. It's losing its color. It's been sitting out in the dry heat and it hasn't even gotten planted. But let's say we plant like we want to do. We plant ourselves, and we start getting some roots. But there's something. When we plant ourselves, you see, this looks like good ground, right? We're coming to church. It's a good word. We're hearing it. We're receiving. We think we're growing roots. And yet, what's down in here are these offenses, rocky ground. That's what's actually underneath there. And now I'm all dirty. You will not take root as long as offense is allowed in. And I want to read to you in Mark 4, 16 through 17. And it says, in the same way, those ones sown, thank you so much. Oh, baby wipes. Mommies are always prepared. Thank you. Thank you, Chloe. And in the same way, the ones sown upon stony ground are those who hear the word and at once receive the word. And you've accepted the word and you welcome it with joy, but you have no root in themselves. And so they endure for a little while. Then trouble or persecution arises on account of the word. And then hear me, this is the word of God. Verse 17, they immediately are offended, become displeased, indignant, resentful. Listen, and then they stumble and fall away. That right there is exactly how it happens. And the enemy is so crafty. You see, displeased, ever feel that? In church, indignant, resentful, then you will stumble and fall away. You see, we judge ourselves based on our intentions. We're here because we intend to worship God. We intend to come to church and worship. But 10 years can go by and we've never really even come and worshiped God. Let me give you some real examples. Maybe it's like this. Ugh. That, I got to think of names because I have to really be cautious in this because offense, the alarm has been sounded. The spirit of offense is in the house. So any name I pick out, somebody's going to be offended. So don't take offense, all right? I'm going to pick out names. I'm going to pick on people that I know and I'm comfortable with. Mike, he raised his hand. He volunteered. He says, I'm strong. Mike comes into church. Oh, that so-and-so is in my seat. Don't they know I sit in that same seat every single week? Oh, come on. I'm in your brain right now. I thought Julie was my friend. She walked right by me and never said hi. What did I ever do to her? How rude. And she calls herself a Christian. All right, now remember, this is God speaking to me, okay? These were my thoughts, so I'll let you all off the hook. I know you're not like this. This was me. That music, oh, it's so loud and so awful. They'll never keep people if they don't change that. That Minister Redner, he walks right by me every single week and he doesn't even acknowledge that I exist. Oh, really? Because the person behind you said that about you. Did you hear what Pastor said? I can't believe that. Who else is strong? Never mind. I'll use the name Rumpelstiltskin on this one. That Rumpelstiltskin, he's so two-faced. He's one way in church, but you just don't know how he acts when he's not in church. I can't go to a place where such a hypocrite goes. You see, I didn't even dare put a name on that one. So-and-so is just so mean-spirited, I don't even want to be around them. It might get on me. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe she wore that to church. This is the house of God. I would never. And whose thinking is that even okay? Really, I can't even worship in a place where that's okay. Why won't anybody say anything to her? I'm never going to sit here again. All they do is talk, 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 right out loud. How rude. I can't even concentrate. As a matter of fact, I can't sit over there. And I definitely can't sit behind those teens. Actually, I can't sit anywhere. These people are so disrespectful. I'm just going to go find another church where it would be better. Am I reading your mail or is this just mine? Okay. They're just so sinful and so worldly. I don't want to be around it. And frankly, I don't want my children around it. How am I doing so far? Does this sound like some of your self-talk during our time of worship? So are we really coming in? Oh, come on now. This is what God had me on my face about. Are we really coming in and worshiping? Are we too busy being offended? I know. It's just me. You see, we couldn't receive from God even though it's our intention to come and learn and grow in worship because we're so busy interrupting what God wants to say, being offended. It's not the church that's the problem. We feel dry, empty, and so far from God because week after week we go through the motions of church but not actually getting to worship where we put all those things down and we let them go and we lift up holy hands, blameless before God. So 10 years in, we feel like church has failed us and we need to go somewhere else to get fed. And you know what? That'll work. For a little while, until your cycle of offense starts there, and then it'll be the same thing in that place. I really don't mean to step on your toes this morning, but I want to sound the alarm of the enemy. He's in the camp, and offense is hurting us. If you're feeling hurt and angry, you have an offense. Don't deceive yourself. There are rocks in the ground, and you cannot grow roots in that place. And we all desire to be that tree planted, our verse of the year. They are like trees planted along the riverbanks, bearing fruit in each season. Their leaves never wither, and in all they do, they prosper. That's what we want, right? We want that hundredfold. This is how we get there, is by paying attention to these things. And if we don't grow roots, we will never be like a tree that is planted by waters, whose leaf does not wither and brings forth fruit in every season, and whatever we do shall prosper. You see, we desire to be like this, that tree,
It's our intention. We're here, so it is our intention. But 2 Corinthians 2:11 advises us that we should be aware of this danger, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And that's just inside the church. How about our workplaces? Oh, the opportunity for offense is so fast there, and it can cause us to quit, lose our jobs, or stay and be miserable and make everybody else's lives miserable. How about driving? The checkout line, the bank, the gas station. Okay, what about our homes? Our children, our spouses, the spirit of offense getting in and allowing us not to take root in the very union that God designed and God created, and that we desire to have good union. Our intentions are good, but the spirit of offense comes in. Offense will sever even those valuable unions established by God and leave us with no real roots in any area of our lives, and it will keep us from flourishing. We can give no place to offense in our lives, but it's so stealthy. So we must uncover it and turn the light on it. Seriously, we just spend all day, every day, with the opportunity for offense. So let me show you what offense does. We'll start just with the scientific, physical part. Offense causes hurt and tension, which literally causes sickness and disease in our bodies. It's scientifically proven to affect our health. And Pastor just did a teaching on the mind that said 90% of all sickness and disease begins in our thoughts. Okay, so if that is what it does to our physical body, how much more should we pay attention to what it does to our spiritual self? Mark 6:3-5. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and among his own relatives and in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work there. He could do no mighty work where they were offended. Did you get that? They were offended, and he was not able to be powerful there. They were unable to experience the power of God for being able to work in our lives. Offense stops God's mighty power from working in our lives. Hear me. Spiritually, that's what happens with offense. The power of God is now cut off. We cannot take root in the kingdom of God with offense in our lives. Mark 4:16-17. And in the same way, the ones sown on stony ground are those who hear the word, receive it, welcome it with joy. There's no root. And when persecution arises, immediately they are offended and they stumble and fall away. So spiritually, offense not only stops the power of God, it will cause you to fall away from God. Matthew 24:10. And then many will be offended and repelled and will be able begin to distrust and desert him who they ought to trust and obey, and will stumble and fall away and betray one another and pursue one another with hatred. This is the word of God. This is what it says. All that little thing called offense, that's what it does in your life. The enemy of your soul is on task 24/7. He does not rest on his job to steal, kill, and destroy. We must daily, every hour, I need you, fight the good fight. Amen. We have to get rid of offenses we've already taken on, and we have to make sure at the same time that we avoid the every moment opportunity for new offense to come in. This is the very seed that the enemy will come into a mature Christian and sow into your life. Offense seems like such a little thing. Oh, it's just a little thing, though. But this little thing can be so destructive. Offense is a seed you are sowing into your life, and you will reap a harvest from that offense. Do not be deceived. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Ecclesiastes 10:1 says, a little fly in the ointment putrefies the whole thing. Just a little offense. 1 Corinthians 5:6 says, a little yeast in the dough leavens the whole thing. God spoke to me so clearly on this subject. I've been in church pretty much my whole life. I go every Sunday, and I thought I was a pretty mature Christian until God shed light on offenses. I wasn't really worshiping God or even mature. I was so distracted with offense when I walked through the door of the church that I was never really meeting with God at all. My brain told me I was all good because I was there. I was present in church each week. But the reality is I may not have actually gone to church at all. We think, it's no big deal though. I'll just avoid that person, or I'll just ignore them. It's just a few people. I don't really care about them anyways. They don't matter to me. They're no big deal. They're nothing, right? Is this our self-talk? Let me read Matthew 25:40 to you. And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. When God spoke that to me, I was a puddle on the floor because I thought it really didn't matter. But it matters that much, because how we treat the least that we consider the least and the least important, that's actually how we are treating God. Now, it started with, listen, assuredly. Be confident in this. There is no question or no doubt, and you can't even argue with it. He's saying assuredly, as you treat the person that you consider the least, is the reality of how we are treating our God. So we come in week after week thinking it's no big deal that I have that offense. It's no big deal that I don't like that person. I'll just avoid them. They're nothing. But how we treat them is actually how we're treating Christ himself. How do you treat those people that offend you? That is how you've treated Christ. What a powerful revelation this was to me. I had actually been treating Christ one way, while all the while I was thinking I was mature and honoring him. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, God's love, it pays no attention to a suffered wrong. 1 John 4:7-8 says, knowing God through love, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So the first time I was sharing this, someone came to me and said, well, man, I didn't know the kingdom of God was so elite, with so many boundaries and so difficult. And my response was, it's not. But just maybe we've gone so far from what it's supposed to look like. It's like cleaning a room that's gotten completely trashed, and you look at it and you're overwhelmed and you don't even know where to start. You see those shows with the hoarders, and literally you look at it and where on earth would you even start with that? That's what's happened in some of our lives, and that's what this looks like right here. Nothing will grow in this place. Nothing. And we'll deceive ourselves if we think something is going to grow in that place. Matthew 7, 13 through 14 says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. I'd like to say, our fight is never with another human being. If you could just take that one thing away from this message, we wrestle not against, this is the word of God, people. It's the word of God. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities. So if you have a problem or an issue against anyone, know that is not where your fight is actually coming from. It's principalities. It's the enemy of your soul. We never have a fight against flesh and blood. It is always the enemy of our soul trying to sow those seeds of offense, to try to keep rocks, to try to keep our roots from growing. And all the while we're in this place thinking we should be strong and planted and prosper in everything that we do. But seeds of offense have been planted, so no root can take effect. Revelations 12:10 says, Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and he stands before God night and day accusing. And we need to not join in and help with his bidding. That is Satan's bidding, according to the word of God, Revelation 12:10. That is not the bidding of the children of God. That is Satan's bidding. And here we are receiving the very thing that is opposite of what we want and what we want to stand for. Galatians 5:13 through 17 says, for you, through love, should serve one another. For the whole law concerning human relationships is compiled in one precept. You shall love your neighbor as you do yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, be careful that you and your whole fellowship are not consumed by one another. For the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh. For these are antagonistic to each other, continually in conflict with each other. Listen, so that you are not free, but are prevented from doing what you desire to do. You see, it prevents us from actually doing our intention and our desire. Sometimes the offense we take can actually be condemnation from the accuser, the devil. God's word says, though, that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. To condemn means to pronounce guilty. And the enemy of your soul would love for you to feel like you have been pronounced guilty. Pronounced guilty before God and in the minds of others around you. But if you have repented and asked for forgiveness, that thing is gone and it is thrown as far as the east is to the west. So you know that is the accuser. That is condemnation. Do not take up an offense over condemnation. Now, conviction, on the other hand, is a good thing. And that's the Holy Spirit. And I pray that that Holy Spirit is working in every one of us today, pointing out something that you have not repented from and changed from that needs to be removed from your life. Sometimes we get offended at God when we feel conviction. Sometimes we can get offended at God when we don't understand something God is doing or not doing. Don't get offended with God. He is the only one that can help you. He is the only one that will get you into an eternal kingdom. He is the way to heaven. Offense may seem so very little, but it stops the power of God working in your life. Do not allow any type of offense in. So here's an argument. What if the offense is valid, though? I know you're sitting there thinking that in your mind. You just argued that, but it's valid. You cannot offend a dead man. And the word of God says it is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. I have been crucified with Christ. So when you say, I have, that's a dead man. You cannot offend a dead man. Galatians 2:20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. John 3:30. I must decrease so that he can increase. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. And then Matthew 6:14-15 says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men of their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And then my absolute favorite one is Luke 6:37 in the Amplified Version. It says, acquit, forgive, and release. Give up resentment and let it drop, and you will be acquitted, forgiven, and released. Acquit there means to be relieved from a fault or a charge, declared not guilty. See how this is the opposite of what the enemy would do and his devices of condemnation and offense? So even if it's valid, the word of God teaches us how to handle it. Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive just like the Lord forgave you. Ephesians 4:31 and 32, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. And then Proverbs 17:9 says, you will keep your friends if you forgive them, but you will lose your friends if you keep talking about what they did wrong. 1 Corinthians 13:5, pay no attention to a suffered wrong. That is how you deal with offense. That is how you deal with offense. Pay no attention to a suffered wrong. Forgive just like Jesus forgave you while you were still ugly. John 8:7. This is the best right here. John 8:7. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, if any one of you is without sin, go ahead and cast the first stone. I'm not saying this so we can feel beat up. When God worked this out in me, I didn't feel beat up at all. I was so grateful that he loved me enough to not leave me in this place where I couldn't take root and I couldn't produce anything. But he desired so much for me to be a tree planted by the water that would bring forth fruit in every season and my leaf wouldn't wither and everything that we touch prospers. I was so grateful that that was the place. Get these offenses out of here. That's the place that he wants us to be. Uh-oh, I'm really making a mess. I'm sorry, Jesus. Get those offenses out. When I looked in the mirror, I definitely felt like a wretch. But I was so grateful for him revealing the enemy's tactic in my life. So let's do something about it. It is possible to not live in offense. So how do we do this? I'm going to take the word of God out. Philippians 1:10. That you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Here's the hope. James 5:16. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray for one another, that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of the righteous makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. So just as an offense can take the power of God out of our lives, getting rid of the offense, loving and praying for one another will make tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. And that is what our intention is. That is what our desire is. How many of you want tremendous power available, dynamic in its working? Then get rid of offenses. None of us wake up in the morning and say, I think I'll just be offended today. We don't intend for offense to happen. Unfortunately, we also don't take precautions to avoid offense. It just happens. God's word is what will keep you from offense. His word is that two-edged sword that works like a surgeon's scalpel, cutting away anything that is different from what his word declares. Psalms 119, 165 says, great peace have they which love the law, and nothing shall offend them. But this verse contains a condition and a promise. You see, we don't just get all these things. You have to, you're responsible for your return, your 30, your 60, 100. That's us. That's our responsibility. This verse has a condition and a promise. Great peace is the promise and nothing offending, right? The condition is those who love the law, the word of God. And if we love it, we obey it and we follow it. John 16, 1 says, these things have I spoken to you, that you shall not be offended. Plan to refuse offense. Whenever you have an opportunity to be offended, make a decision to respond according to the love of God, according to the scriptures, rather than how you might have reacted in the past. Now, I know today we've had a mirror held up, and we've seen the hard truth. But please, please do not make excuses, rationalize, or justify. The enemy would love for you to do that so you can stay just like this. No root at all. No effect. You won't be strong. You'll be tossed to and fro. You won't be planted by the water. You won't produce fruit. Your leaf will be withered and just a mess. Please strive to not be offended ever. It will keep you in health, in peace, from bitterness, from walking away, and it will keep the power of God flowing in your life. This is exactly what you need for today. It's not too much, and it's not too hard. It's too much to stay in offense. It'll cost you way too much, including everything you influence and for generations to come. Psalms 1:3 is what our intention and our desire is. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Say that with me. We're going to put I in. Whatever I do shall prosper. But not if we have offense. Not if we're coming to church week after week, never entering into actual worship because we're so busy being offended. This, Psalms 1:3, is the 100-fold return from being planted in good ground and picking the rocks out that stunt your roots. The enemy's devices have been revealed today. Let's stay out of offense until the day of Jesus Christ, that nothing shall offend us. And in that place, tremendous power, unbelievable things are available to us, but only in that place. Not in this place. Not in this place. And we can deceive ourselves. How many years will we allow ourselves to be deceived, growing no root in ourselves at all? Let's get rid of every offense today and make sure no new offense comes in. When it comes in, immediately acquit. Forgive, release, let it go. Pay no attention to a suffered wrong. In Ecclesiastes, there's another passage that says, not to listen too closely to what someone says about you, because you know also you may have done it yourself. So that's a good reason for us to just forgive, because we know we've done it ourselves at some point in time. So let's, this morning, clear out a fence so that this body of Christ, these sons and daughters, will be trees planted. We will not be knocked around, tossed to and fro, weeded out of the kingdom. Slipped away. After how many years? The alarm has been sounded. Arrest offense. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. I want to give you opportunity today. Please don't leave. Please don't leave. If you are innocent in this, you are a better person than I am. God has been working on this for years in me. Doesn't happen overnight. But when we determine, when we plan to not be offended, we can be unoffended until the day of Jesus Christ. So today, all those offenses, and you know them, you've got them labeled. You might even actually have them written down. You say, ooh, I know people. They have it all written down. I am telling you, it is vital that you let those things go. And it might require you letting that go 2,500 times in the future, and that's okay. Every time that rock pops up, you just pick it up and say, nope, I forgive. I forgive. I acquit. I will not be a pawn of the enemy who is an accuser of the brethren. I won't be on his side. I want to be on God's side. I want to acquit and forgive. So whatever those offenses are, oh, it's so exciting because our ground is getting good right now. Our ground is getting good. Roots are going to grow down where they haven't been able to grow. Areas you've not been stable in before, you're going to be so grounded in, because we are removing every offense that has been come in and we're letting it go. So right now, if you just bow your heads and close your eyes. Those offenses are coming up in your head, and they probably have during the service. I want you just to right now, at thought level, arrest that, acquit and forgive, and we're going to walk away from it. We're going to let it go. We're never going to bring it up again. And when it starts to come up, we're just going to let it go again and again and again. Because I want 100-fold. I want tremendous power available. Just go ahead and let go. Let go. Clear out the ground. It may look a little overwhelming. And you don't even know where to begin. Just whatever one comes up. And each time it comes up, let it go. Let it go again, and let it go again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your word that is cut away and is cleaned and has made our garden, has tilled the ground and made it soft and pliable. And Father God, your word has watered today that we will grow roots and be immovable. Thank you, God, for restoring. Thank you, God, for restoring. Because even if there's very little root, when that gets planted in good ground, it'll change everything. It'll change everything. Change everything today, God. Change everything. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or come up or anything today. Right in your seat, because I want every single person to do that. Too many times that call comes and we walk out the door. I want you to right in your seat, acquit. Ah, feels so good to be clean, doesn't it? It feels so good to let go of those things. Great peace is the promise. Great peace is the promise. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I do want to make one call. If you're in this place today and you've never asked Jesus into your life, you've never made him your best friend, you've never invited him in to be Lord, I want to give you that opportunity today because it is the best decision you will ever make. He will never leave you and he will never forsake you. He will take you through the valleys, the mountaintops, and the storms. He will be your best friend. So if you're in this place and you've never asked Jesus in, or maybe you have and you've gone so far and you want to ask him today to be renewed as the Lord in your life, I just want you to raise your hand up. If you're in this place today and you'd like Jesus to be the Lord of your life, just want you to raise your hand up real quickly. We're not going to take too long. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Come on, it's the best decision you'll ever make. There's great peace in the kingdom of God. Anybody else in the house today? I'm going to give a countdown of 5, 4, 3, 2. Get your hand up in the back. Thank you so much. 1. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to leave this place different than when we came in. We've had surgery done today. God's done incredible things, and he's going to do incredible things. I love you so much, body of Christ. Family of God, you're amazing, and I love what God is going to do in your life. Have a blessed week. If you raised your hand for salvation, I'd like you to come right up front. Go ahead, hurry, come right forward. Come right forward, please come forward. We want to make sure. Come right forward. We want to make sure you're secure in Jesus. Come right forward. We're going to pray a prayer of blessing over this house. If you're a guest this morning, don't leave without coming to the reception and greeting us. Let's pray a blessing right now. Father God, I thank you so much. I thank you for your powerful word. I thank you for tremendous power that is available to us. I thank you for roots that are growing down strong and firm, that we will be immovable in every area, not just church, but in every area. You've removed offenses. Thank you, God. Thank you that we walk out of this place with no offense and great peace. Great peace. Great peace. Thank you for the strength to forgive, God. In your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Have a blessed holiday weekend. We'll see you in the guest reception.